they're fighting over who's translating. Like I said, I've been preaching so long, man, I almost forgot what I should be doing. But it's okay, I've been practicing all week, actually. Turn to Matthew 6, verse 9. We're going to continue on in our series, and I'd say we probably about three or four more on the Lord's Prayer, and then we'll be done. Right? Matthew 9, verse 9, or 6, verse 9. Pray then in this way, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Just really, really pray for me. I'm butt exhausted today, man. We had all night prayer on Friday night. We came home like 5 in the morning. And then last night we came home so late. So I'm praying, but I'm praying for me personally. All right. So let's go before God. Father, we just thank you for this time, God, and Lord, we ask that your word would go forth with power, God, and authority, Lord. Let the unction of your Holy Spirit be here with us, Lord. And I just humble myself, God, before my brothers and sisters, Lord. And I ask that you use me today, God, to preach your prophetic word, God, with power. Lord, let there be clarity of thought, God, clarity of speech. And Lord, that you would come right now, God, and release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to this church today. God, we thank you. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, Amen. We're going to move on to our third part of the Lord's Prayer. And this is, give us this day our daily bread. Now, a lot of this stuff is pretty self-explanatory. So we're going to just go through these couple of things real quickly. And then I'll get to what I really want to share out of this text. Now, as before, you know, in the Lord's Prayer, there was a lot of talk about spiritual things. And now, you know, Matthew brings it down home and talking more about natural things for a little bit. And he talks about daily bread. You know, and yet we need to make a connection in our life that our natural being is connected to our spiritual well-being. You know, I shared this before, right? You know, Elizabeth Elliot, she said the key to an effective prayer life is 8 hours of sleep. There's something about our natural well-being, right, that will connect to our spiritual well-being. And thus to say, a lot of times when you're doing spiritually well, you know, that you find illnesses or you find, you know, things that would normally trap you or normally would come against you to almost just sort of fall off of you. You know, and you don't necessarily worry so much anymore. But then if you're caught up in worries or if you're caught up in things sort of physically, it sort of puts a damper on us spiritually. And so there is that divine connection that's always there, you know. And sometimes we have to remember in our life that, you know, that we are more than just human beings, right? I mean, more than what you see right here. It's more than this. You know, our thought, you know, we're divided up in the body, right, which is our physical, you know, into our soul. And our soul, you know, is a part of our will, our mind, our emotions, and then our spirit. You know, and our spirit is what's eternal. It's when the Holy Spirit enters in, and it's eternal. But this is who we are. We're all, and we can't compartmentalize our lives that way, right? We're one whole person. And so when we suffer physically, in a lot of ways, that's going to dwell into our spirituality as well. You know, and so we make this connection. And so Matthew is making this connection in this prayer for us. And you have to understand, in this simple word, verse 11, each word has incredible meaning. And I'm just going to break it down for us a little bit. He starts and he says, give us. Notice the word there is give. It's not borrow or God lend me. Right? But give us, right? Doesn't mean, you know, don't sell it to us, Lord, don't lend it to us, but give it to us. You know, it teaches us that God, right, is the giver of all things, and His desire is to give to us. You know, we're not sitting there, Lord, can I borrow this bread, you know? You know, can you do these? No, it's like, Lord, give it to me. You know, and so we need to come in that kind of understanding. And then notice it says to us. You know, not only to me, right? It's not, Lord, give me my daily bread. Right, but give to us, you know, and which sort of brings us to a concern, you know, about charity and having a compassionate concern for others, and especially the poor and the needy, right? Not to me only, but to others that are in common with me. And so when I pray this prayer, I'm praying not only for myself, I'm praying for my wife, right, who I have come. I'm praying for us as a church. Lord, give us, right? It's not just me. Right? And so a lot of ways, this is in some ways a very beautiful community prayer, right? It also intimates that we ought to pray together with our families, you know, since we also eat together with our families, you know, and so this is an activity that we should be part of. He also goes on, give us this day, right? Not this month, right? Not this week, but this day. You know, and it teaches us that we, because it's a correlation of prayer, that we should renew our lives in God every single day. You know, as our body is being renewed, you know, the wants, the physical wants of our bodies are being renewed, so much more that our spiritual needs and our spiritual wants should be renewed every single day. And I heard this statement said a long time ago, and it just sort of clicked with me. You know, it says, you know, we would never treat our bodies like the way that we treat our spirits. You guys understand that? We would never treat our bodies the way that we treat our spirits. You know, I mean, you're hungry, what do? You open the fridge, you go get something to eat. You know, if you're really hungry and desperate, you go to McDonald's. You know, I mean, I went to McDonald's. We had McDonald's two nights this week, man. I have been praying the price still. You know, we have a need, we have a want, and we stuff ourselves. You know, our natural and the spiritual are intertwined with one another. You know, and our spiritual needs and wants are there. And it's crying out for fellowship with God. It's crying out for prayer. It's crying out for worship. And what do? We ignore. You know, I mean, if you've been Christians long enough, you've gone through weeks where you haven't prayed outside of praying for your meal. I mean, have we not? You know, I mean, you know, I'm the first one to raise my hand, right? We've gone through months sometimes before we open up the Bible outside of church. You know, you cracking open the Bible, you know, I mean, some of you guys, every Sunday you do this and cobwebs are coming out, right? And stuff. And, you know, the scriptures get open. And this, more than just, you know, church, more than just once in a while. But what we're doing is we're starving our spirit. You know, we would never treat our bodies the same way. You know, have you, you know, sort of walked around and, you know, like, you know, gone into a gym? You know, anyone been working out lately? You know, and you always feel sorry for just the really skinny guy that's just trying to lift weights and, you know, and it's, I mean, not this, like, they're not maybe dispossessed for that, but that's not the whole point. But, you know, and you feel like, man, you know, and sometimes that's a reflection on the outside of what our spirit is like. And for some of us, our spirit is like the gangly Chinese guy trying to do the barbells, you know, in your local gym. You know what I mean and stuff? And, you know, yeah, Koreans too. Sorry, all right. I heard that, Jacinta, right? That little gangly Korean guy, right, that's trying to lift weights. And, you know, and we just think and go, oh, man, how sad. You know, like, man, what a little guy, you know? But in our spirit, we could just be like that, right? Just this little guy, you know, like 2 pound or 2 kilo barbells and just struggling to get it up. You know, I mean, it's a ridiculous picture. You know, but sometimes our spirit looks like that. Right, we should never treat our bodies, right, like we treat our spirit. And there's something to be said about that. And also it's this day, right? So it teaches us to renew our hearts to God every day, right? Just as our wants of our bodies are renewed every day, so our hearts should be renewed every day before the Lord. Right? And now notice he goes, right, give us this day this is our bread, not bread from someone else's mouth. You guys know what I'm saying? You know, when he's writing this, right, it teaches us about honesty, about industry. And that's why in Proverbs 20, 17, you know, the writer of Proverbs talks about the bread of deceit. And also in 31:27 in Proverbs, it talks about the bread of idleness. You know, and there's that direct correlation between bread, and it says there's the bread of deceit, right? This is bread that we get out of cheating and lying and stealing and cutting the corners and, you know, doing all these things, you know. You know, maybe you guys that are working in different areas of industry here in Hong Kong, you know, sometimes you can omit the truth a little bit. That's still lying, by the way. You know, that's still deceit. And he talks about the bread of deceit and also talks about the bread of idleness. You know, in other words, bread that we get that we don't deserve. Right? We haven't worked hard for this. There's no industry at all involved in what we do. And so we ask God for our bread, not for someone else's bread. You know, we don't look and say, oh, I sort of like what they have, God. You know, I want what they have. You know, and that's not what he's asking. He says, Lord, give us our bread. Right? Give to me what I deserve. Give to me what my hands have worked for. You know, and so he's teaching us these things, right? Not bread from other people's mouths. And then he continues on, give us our daily bread. Right? It teaches us that we go before Him every single day, you know, and that we depend upon Him, right? Depend upon divine providence. We don't look to tomorrow. We look to every single day. And He asks us to ask for bread. Give us our daily bread. You know, bread is simply just basic sustenance, right? We ask for what we need, what is good for us, and what will not ruin us. You know, sometimes, you know, we can ask for so many different things. You know, Lord, I just, you know, give us, you know, it wasn't give us this day our lollipops or, you know, or our candy bars or, you know, I know it's ridiculous, right? And stuff, but, you know, it's, I mean, too much of these things, and I mean, you're going to get sick. You know, have you ever gotten sick eating too much bread? Hedan, have you ever gotten sick eating too much bread? Hedan's the breadmeister, right? You know, bread is good for you, right? It's wholesome, right? It'll give you energy. That's why I really can't stand that Atkins diet thing, right? You know, depriving yourself of carbohydrates. That's like the most ridiculous thing, you know? You agree? Thanks, Hedan, right? And stuff, and you know, and it's just bread. This is what we need. You know, we're not asking God for all these superfluous things. And Lord, you know, Lord, we just want what we need. You know, I just want sustenance for my body to run and to move and all these things. And wrapped up in this whole thing that we just broke this down, but wrapped up in this whole thing that we must understand that God is the giver of all things, right? Everything we have, you know, all these things, right? He is the source. Turn to Acts chapter 17. This is the Sermon on Mars Hill. Acts 17:28. You know, the writer, Paul here, he's continuing on, and he says this in Mars Hill, and he says, "For in Him we live and move and have our being." Right? In Him we live and move and have our being. Right? He is the source of everything. You know, other writers in the Gospels will tell us that even Him we have our breath. Our breath belongs to Him. You know, God is the one that's giving us all these things. He's a source of all these things. You know, I should probably share this story a long time ago, but when I went to a Christian university, at that time it was called Southern California College, now Vanguard University. And this is the university I went to go work at later on. And, you know, I just had come into this university. I was playing sports there. And I was a business major, business administration. And some of you guys know I was an accountant for a year. And while I was in class, I thought I'd go to the business club. You know, I'm a business major. You know, I need to meet some friends. You know, I'm really into networking. And so, you know, I'll go to the business club meeting. And so, the head of the business division was the advisor to the business club. So, you know, I wanted to get chummy with the guy. You know, I mean, you know, he can maybe get me a job later on, you know, and stuff. And that's how my mind worked that way, very carnally, right? And so I continue on. And so I go to this business club meeting. And this guy, Rich Schultz, and, you know, he's executive in a couple of Fortune 500 companies, very successful guy. And he was talking, and he was talking about money. You know, and as he was talking about money, he said something, and I'll never forget it. And I just walked into class, and I always felt really dirty, because I wasn't a Christian then, but I was at this Christian school. You know, and I just thought everyone was so holy. You know, probably like some of you guys walk into church, and you think everyone's holy. They're not. Okay, I just want to tell you right off the bat, no one is holy except for God. Any case. And so we continue on, and he gets in this place, and he says, "Well, bottom line is, right, it's not how much money, how much of your money that you give to God, but it's how much of God's money you keep for yourself." You know, and I sat there and thought about that for a while, and, wait, it's not how much my money I give to God, but God's money that I keep for myself. You know, and I had to say it a couple of times, because it didn't register in my mind. You know, and it was just like something just began to open up inside of me. And I realized, wow, God, You are the source of all these things. You know, and he talked about a word called stewardship, and I never really heard this word before. But he said things like that we are stewards of what God has given to us. You know, the job, right? That it's your job, but God gave you that job. You know, and this is like a whole new idea of thinking for me. You know, oh, God gave me this. This is God's work in hand, and what, you know? And so, you know, it goes to say that I'm just merely a steward of what God lets me use that's His. You know, and we're like this all the time, right? I mean, I let people borrow my stuff all the time. You know, people borrow my books, you know, and some of you guys still have them, so, you know, you guys should give them back. You know, and people borrow, you know, I mean, this, borrow that. I have no problem with that, you know, and things. And, you know, and so as a good steward, just give it over. You know, my most prized possession that I had back in California was my truck, right? I had a black Toyota 4Runner, right? When I sold it, that was actually the most heart-wrenching thing that I did, as I sold my truck to come to Hong Kong. I gave up my truck for you guys, believe it or not, and stuff. And so, you know, it had like 200, how many miles did it have? 220-some thousand miles, and it was still going strong, my truck. You know, but I recognized that in my life, because after in this meeting, and I got saved, and I began to understand that I'm just a steward of, you know, of God's possessions, right? And even though it's in my title and it's in my name and all paid off, and you know, and I, it's God's. And so when I was a youth pastor, You know, and, you know, I had all these kids, and anyone that wanted to learn how to drive stick, they could ask me, and they would learn on my truck, because it wasn't my truck. It didn't matter if they're going to strip my gears, you know, and they did that many times. I had kids run over rose bushes and break over gates trying to learn stick, you know, and anytime God wanted to borrow my truck, you know, I just say, okay, go ahead, because it wasn't mine. I'm just a steward of it, you know, and this sort of mentality just sort of snuck in into my heart and my spirit, thank God. Now, to realize, God, that you are the source of everything, right? We are supposed to be stewards. It's not how much am I going to keep for myself, right? Or it's not how much I'm going to give to you, you know, my stuff I'm going to give to you, God. But how much of your stuff am I going to keep to myself? You know, and I guarantee you, if you get that into your spirit, you'll change. Your life will change. The way you look at wealth, the way you look at all these things will change. What I want to talk about a little bit, and I'm going to actually spend a few weeks later on talking about this. I'm going to talk about the spirit of generosity versus the spirit of poverty. All right, you know, we broke down this scripture, but I want to bring some application into us. The spirit of generosity versus the spirit of poverty. You know, do you know that you could be filthy rich and live under a spirit of poverty? You know, did you know that? We've seen it all the time. You know, the rich young ruler. You know, we know the story, right? This guy comes up to him and he says, "What do I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus, you know, had a love for this guy. It wasn't like God was angry or Jesus was angry with this guy. Jesus loved this guy. You know, and this guy, you know, continues on and, you know, he moves on and says, "Well, this is what, you know, do this." And he says, "Remember, I've done all these things." I mean, he's a really righteous guy. He says, "One thing you lack, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor." You know the story, right? This guy's heart sank and he left. This guy was living under a spirit of poverty. Even though he had all these things around him, you know, even though he owned, you know, all this property, it says, right? He still, there was something inside of him, you know, that was constantly ticking away. I need more. I need more. This is my security. You know, Jesus wasn't being this kind of like mean, like killjoy, cosmic killjoy, and says, "Sell all that you have, give everything away." Notice if you actually read the text, it says, "Sell all that you have and give to the poor." It doesn't say give everything to the poor, right? I'm sure the Lord wanted him to keep some for himself. You know, that would be bad stewardship on his part, right? Sell all that you have, right? Because this is where your security lies in. You know, Jesus is saying, see, in eternal life inherently is placing your security not on yourself, not on what you possess, but placing your security on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and he needed to make that transition. And even though he owned so much, he was living under a spirit of poverty. Now, some of you guys, us, have seen that movie Wall Street, right? Gordon Gekko, right? This was the whole, you know, time, and, you know, and this, I mean, just he had so much. If you remember this movie, so much. But he was so greedy, right? Just always wanting more and more and more and more. You know, and in fact, this leads us to overwork. And I'll talk about that a little bit more later on. But it's this spirit of generosity, right, coming against this spirit of poverty, right? God's principles, and you have to always remember this, God's principles are diametrically opposed to those of the world. The God says, "Give, and it shall be given to you," Luke chapter 6. The world says, "Get all you can, and then can all that you get." You know, this is what it's about, right? Just grab everything, man, you know? And we come into these things over and over and over again, right? And I say this, and this is not my message on tithing or anything like that, right? But man, you can never outgive God. I think you heard Rob say that before, right? You can never outgive God, right? That is an absolute impossibility in our lives. Listen to this. Generosity, right? The spirit of generosity says God is the giver, right? God is the giver. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I want you to turn to this because I want you to see this with your own eyes. You know, my personal feeling for a lot of you guys that are bankers here, I think the most successful bankers are ones that are close to God. I mean, it has to be. Look what he says. This is Deuteronomy 8:18. "But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who is giving you power to make wealth, that He may confirm His covenant which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day." Right? Read it with your own eyes. "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who is giving you power to make wealth, that He may confirm His covenant which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day." Who brings the power to make wealth? Right? Who is the source of sustenance? Who is the giver? It's God. Right? You can't never get away from that fact. You know, generosity also says, right, that this is not mine. Right? Since God is the giver, it's a natural conclusion. God is the giver, and so this is God's. Right? I'm just merely a steward. I'm only a steward of what God entrusts to me. Right? When we get to heaven, that's what's going to be asked. What did you do with the things that I gave you? You know, what did you do with my son? Right? We are just merely stewards of all that God entrusts to us. Generosity also says that God desires to bless my life spiritually and materially. Turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs 10, verse 22. Proverbs 10, 22. Read this, underline it, highlight it. Look what it says. It is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and He adds no sorrow to it. Right? It is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and He adds no sorrow to it. You know, a lot of us, you know, we work hard for our money. I think we work too hard for our money. There's sorrow in that. You know, but it's the Lord that will increase our lives. You know, and the beauty of it, no sorrow in that wealth whatsoever. You won't feel guilty that you have a lot. You know what I mean? You know, I mean, most of the people in church, they feel guilty. I had a student of mine at the university, and he was one of my worship leaders. And he would drive this most beat-up car that you've ever seen in your life. You know, and I mean, this guy would dress, well, Southern California, so everyone sort of dresses like kind of like surfy, shabby, you know, kind of just came out of the beach, got sand, you know, just all over the place. And he had this look about himself, you know, and a lot of, he tried to do this to overcompensate the fact that his family was extremely wealthy. I mean, you know, his father for, you know, like just, you know, once in a while, his grandfather once in a while just come over and just give him plots of land, you know, on the, you know, on Huntington Beach, right in front of the beach. You know, I mean, this is multi, you know, and stuff. And so I remember driving with him a couple times and, you know, he's like, oh yeah, we're trying to build something there and over there and over there. I mean, like prime property. You know, Huntington is some of the best surfing in the world. I mean, right in front, you know, and this, and his grandfather just once in a while just does this. His dad is one of the most famous plastic surgeons in Newport Beach. You know, and so, I mean, this is just butt rich, you know, this guy. And so, but he always felt so guilty about things that he had. And so he overcompensated, you know, by dressing as bad as you can dress, you know. I mean, his car was the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen in your life. You know, have you ever seen cars that have major rust problems? His whole car was a rust problem, you know. And things, and just so you couldn't open the door, you couldn't open the windows. You know, it was one of those, he had like an old, like Monte Carlo, you know, if you guys remember those old, you know, old school. And I mean, it was just the most hideous thing you've ever seen. And you never know this guy was a multimillionaire, right? Because there was sorrow added on to his wealth. You know, and you know, thank God that we spent some time counseling and talking, you know, to each other about wealth and about how God blesses our lives. And he finally snapped out of it. He started dressing a little better. You know, he bought a Range Rover, you know. It was sort of a nice car, right? He let me drive once in a while. That was nice. You know what I mean? But now he could enjoy the wealth that God had given to him. Because he recognized God was the one that was blessing him. Right? You know, he didn't have to feel guilty about the things that he owned. You know, I mean, trust me, man. My prayer for you guys at church that all you guys be wealthy. I mean, praise God, you know. And stuff, you know, pressed down, shaking over, spilling over. That's really my prayer. You know, but that you recognize that it's God that's the source. You know, and because you are blessed, that you ought to be a blessing to others. You know, we're not just going to hoard it for ourselves and, oh, you know, man, I'm rich. I got all these things. That's not the point. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others, right? And the spirit of generosity tells us and reminds us that God's desire is to bless our lives spiritually and materially, right? Philippians 4:19, right? And He shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Right? And this is God's promise to us. Now, let's take a little flip side. What does the spirit of poverty tell us? Which is in direct contrast. The spirit of poverty says, I earned this myself. I worked hard. I put in those hours. Pastor Sam, you don't understand. I did 3 all-nighters this week. You know, I worked so hard for this money, for this paycheck that I have. You know, and that's the direct line of the spirit of poverty. The spirit of poverty also says, this is all mine. This is mine. You know, I'm not a steward of this. Right? This is not God's. This is all mine. Because I worked so hard for this. Right? Because I'm so well educated. And I went and got this job. And I had such a beautiful resume. And all these things. This is all my stuff. Right? It's mine. You know, we forget about this. The spirit of poverty also says that God is a Scrooge. Right? His desire is not to bless me. God just wants to take things from me. That's what he always does. He's not happy, you know, for me to have a lot of stuff. He doesn't want me to have a lot of stuff. You know, I guess he gets angry, you know, when I want to buy this or when I want to buy that or when I want to have this or have that. He gets upset with me in these things. And then we realize God, right, is a Scrooge. Right? He's just, like I said, this cosmic killjoy that he doesn't want to bless my life. Right? Generosity and poverty. Almost two flip sides, you know, and it's a sad thing. I'm telling you, it's a sad thing, especially when you see a Christian, right? When you see a believer, blood bought by the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and I'm not talking about selfishness, you know. I mean, that's a whole nother thing, right? That's more of a character trait. And I'm talking about that walks and lives in this spirit of poverty. The spirit of poverty says, I can never have enough. So you just work overtime, you know. It goes beyond greed. You know, I can't give this or I can't give this up. I just need to have more. You know, and whatever happens our way, we're just always grabbing and grabbing. You know, we're takers in a lot of ways. That's how the spirit of poverty works in our life. Right? Generosity, when we walk in generosity, it will cause us to help us focus on what is important. Right? It would align ourselves with God because God is a generous God. You know, poverty, the fruits of poverty that come out is pride, worry, fear, insecurity. You know, all these things lead to overwork. Did you know that? Now, let's be really honest. Come on, all right? Come on, church. Let's be really honest. A lot of times we overwork, not because we're such great workers, right? Not, I mean, really, I'll just throw something out, right? Not because we're such great workers. We're so diligent in all these things. Sometimes we overwork because there's an innate fear deep inside of us, right? That we're wrought in insecurity. There is so much worry. And so we work and we work and we work and we work. You know, and we don't take time out for what's really important in our lives, like our friends, our family, you know, special time with special people, you know, even church, you know, Sunday, right? Sunday, the Sabbath day. You know, I don't care if you're a lawyer, if you're a banker, I don't care. You should be at church every single Sunday. You know, if you can't make this Sunday service at 2 o'clock, right, go to, you know, morning service at ECC. You know, I'm sure they have morning service. You know, go to an evening service somewhere. And I'm not saying you need to come to this church, right? So, you know, I mean, I believe in the universal church. I'm saying you should go to church every Sunday. You know, in that same way, you know, that in our hearts, I mean, we should be giving to the church as well. Like, this is not a message on tithing. Trust me, I'm going to hit you a couple times later on this year on that, right? Yeah, I mean, I'm going to bloody you guys with tithing, you know, for a little bit. And so, because I think many of us need to be bloody for a little bit. You know, but it's the whole idea of trust. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. You know, am I going to trust God for my provision? You know, or am I not? And I had this talk with someone at church. And this person just got the bonus, right? You know, I guess that's, you guys live for your bonus or something, you know, and things. And so, you know, you got this big bonus. And, you know, and the question was, should I tithe my bonus? I'm like, of course. It's like, you know, I mean, you know, when we get onto this, you know, I'm going to slap you over the head if I hear kind of, should I give gross income or should I give net income? Please don't ask me those kind of questions, okay? You know, I mean, it's just, you know, it's first fruits. You know, I mean, just simple things like this. You know, and bottom line, as I was talking to this, it's like, I mean, are you trusting in the Lord for your provision? Or are you trusting in yourself? I mean, it's really that simple. You know, and the ability to give. A lot of you guys are getting really red and sweating now, right? Because I talked about your bonus a little bit. And things in, you know, but I mean, if you really break it down, did God give me this job, or did I earn it myself? It's the fundamental fact. It's a fundamental, right, kind of belief system that we have deep inside of us. Do we trust the Lord or do we not trust the Lord? Is He the source of these things or is He not the source of these things? You know, and you have to make your own decision, right? You know, and it's not for me to say these things. But a lot of times when we overwork, we do these things, it's out of our pride, right? It's out of our worries. It's out of our fears and out of our insecurities. You know, we want to look good to the boss. Not so because we just want to be a good worker, because we're so insecure about how we want others to perceive us. You know, and so we work overtime that way to please people that could really care less about our lives. Do you know what I mean? And stuff, and we're so driven in this way. You know, and if that's the case, I want to tell you, you are living under a spirit of poverty. Right? You are living in the system of this world and not under the system of God. You know, and I'm not talking about if you're tithing or not. I mean, that's a whole other thing. That like I said, we'll get into a whole other time. But we come to this place and say, God, are you the source or are you not? Are you the one that has given this to me or are you not? You know, I had this time when I was at the university and we had this meeting. And a friend of mine came and he was actually speaking on the spirit of generosity, a little different than what I was talking about. And at the course of this talk, it was our Wednesday night session. It was a prayer and praise. And this is open, right? Anyone that wants to come can come. Chapel, you have to come, right? So all the knuckleheads come to chapel. But this is the meeting, right, where everyone wants to be there. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to come. By your own fruition, you come. So this is, I mean, we usually have the best meetings on Wednesday night. We clear out the cafeteria. You know, we set up a worship band. I mean, we just have the most glorious nights in those times. Well, during this time, my friend began to speak on the spirit of generosity. And then he just simply asked this question after he finished speaking. He talked about 5 minutes. And he says, well, how many guys have been really blessed by the Lord, you know, financially and just materially in a lot of these ways? And I stood up, you know, I mean, I'm really blessed by God, you know. I mean, you know, God gave me this new job and, you know, I was making a lot of money. You know, I was just, you know, this 29-year-old punk kid, right, that's pastoring this university. And I'm, what the heck do I know? You know, and so I stood up, man, God's been blessing me. You know, this is the most money I've ever made in my life, you know. And so I stood up and then all these other students stood up. And then he asked, well, how many of you guys here, you know, are really, you know, struggling financially in your life? You know, and then, you know, tons of students stood up, right? I mean, poor Christian college students, right? Everyone's standing up almost. You know, and then he said something. He says, why don't you guys that are sort of wealthy, you know, not wealthy, but sort of been blessed by God, why don't you go and grab someone, ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to tell you who to go to, and why don't you grab someone near you, you know, that's not doing too well, and then why don't you pray for that person, and then ask the Lord how much you're to give. Not if you're to give, but how much you're to give. So I'm like, okay. So I just grabbed someone next to me, and this girl, you know, and started praying for her, and, you know, and said, okay, Lord, you know, what do you want me to give? And so this figure came into my mind. I said, no. Right? My initial reaction is, I rebuke that. Right? That's not of you, Lord. You know? I mean, I'm being dead serious, right? I said, in the name of Jesus, no way, you know. Satan's, get behind thee, right? I mean, I was doing spiritual warfare, man. I said, no, that's not of you, God. And so I stopped again. I said, okay, God, come on, be really seriously. How much do you want me to give? Just closed my eyes and prayed, and the same figure came out. And, you know, this time I started to sweat, you know. I said, Lord, you know, I mean, there was more than was in my savings account, right? I said, Lord, I don't know, God, okay, please speak to me. You know, almost like crying out for mercy, you know. Lord, okay, and that same figure comes out. I mean, three times, you know. And so I sat there, and I was really in a position. This is where, I mean, my faith is on the line right here. You know what I mean? I mean, not my faith, but what I believe about my faith and what I believe about God is on the line. That's what really faith is, right? It's what you believe about God. And so I'm sitting there, and I said, okay. And then I prayed one more time just to make sure. You know, and this word came up in my spirit, and it was extravagance. And I just felt like the Holy Spirit just speaking to my heart, and he says, Sam, I want to show my daughter my extravagance. You know, and so, and what can you do, right, and stuff. So I said, you know, I said, the Lord sort of gave me a figure, you know, and this is what he wants me to give you. As soon as I said that, this girl just started bawling. I mean, just she just lost it, man. You know, bawling like, you know, snot falling down, and, you know what I mean, like the, you know, grandfather clock snot going and stuff, and I mean, she just lost it, man. You know, and I was there, and I just told her, and I just prayed a prayer of blessing over her. I said, you know, God, the Father just wants you to know that you're his precious daughter, and that he wants to shower his extravagance over you. You know, and I told her, well, you know, stop by my office tomorrow, and I'll give you a check, but don't cash that until next week, because I don't have any money yet, you know, when I get paid, I'll put it in. I mean, literally, I had to tell her, you know, like, post-dated check kind of stuff, and so I you know, I just gave it to her, and I'll be honest, you know, I was still feeling really bitter at God, you know, I mean, why would you, but then, you know, something began to stir inside of me. It's this spirit of generosity. You know, and the funny thing is, all throughout that night, you know, students, poor college students, were taking money out of their pocket, and while as people were praying, were putting 20s and 50s and in other people's pockets, and kids were, you know, and then in the mailboxes. I mean, this spread all over campus. You know, in mailboxes, you know, people were seeing envelopes, you know, anonymous envelopes saying, God loves you so much, and money, and people, you know, their tuition was being paid, and people, even just to go to the movie that weekend, it was, you know, people were putting money in their pocket. I mean, it was the most beautiful thing that was happening there, the spirit of generosity. You know, the good story is, you know, that happened right in the beginning of the semester. You know, a month and a half later, you know what happened to me? You know, personally, as I took a step of faith and I gave, God gave back to me, spilling over. I'm telling you, man, I bought a house in a month and a half after that. I kid you not. You know, next thing you know, I walk into my church and my pastor, you know, gives me this check, you know, like it was like, I think $4,000 or $5,000. You know, Korean church, man, right? I mean, that's like a miracle, you know? And things that, you know, and I mean, it was just the most amazing thing, and just spilling over. You know, and I put a down payment on a house, you know, and I mean, I just had just the right amount of money for the payment and to pay for the escrow and all these things in a month and a half after, you know, and I basically gave away my savings, basically, you know, and the next thing, you know, God just pours out upon me, right? God, you know what that does for me? Oh, man, God, you are faithful. There is no amount of money that can buy that. You know what I mean? To buy a testimony in my life. You know, you guys heard this, right? God turns a test, gives you some money, it's a testimony, right? Yeah. That was really bad. My bad. I couldn't resist. Okay? You know? Okay, that was really bad. We'll omit that from the tape. You know, and so, and I mean, this is exactly what happens. And God fills my life with something. And now I know that I know that I know that I know that my God is my provider. Right? In Him I shall not have want, as David says. You know what I mean? I mean, how do you know that He's your shepherd? How do you know that you can walk through, right? And that He's your righteousness? Because you go through the valley of darkness. That's the only way you find out. But you exit that valley. And you know without a doubt, Lord, you are my God. You are my provider. There is no amount of money that can buy that, church. And that's what God wants in our life. He wants us to experience Him. You know, and so, you know, I mean, you know, my wife and I, we you know, we have a little bit of debt, you know, and stuff. I have not lost a wink of sleep over that. One bit. Why? Because my God is my provider. You know, I love, you guys, some of you guys like U2, right? I love one of the songs, Bono. I think he says the most theologically sound thing I've ever heard. Right? I'm serious, man. I was just, I said amen. Right? I think it's in that song, Bullet the Blue Sky. And it says, and my God isn't short of cash, mister. Right? And I'm like, yeah. Right? Preach it, my brother. You know? I mean, that's what it's about. You know? And you know, no matter what happens in my life, no matter what financial distress or even emotional distress, I know God is my provider. He is the rock in whom I can trust. He is my fortress and my deliverer. Whom shall I fear? You know what I mean? But see, that only happens when God begins to flood your heart with the spirit of generosity, right? When we realize that God is truly the source, not ourselves, not our paychecks or our savings account, and that we can truly let go and be content to do the possible, which allows God to do the impossible. You know what happens? This is what happens spiritually. When you try to do it yourself, when you are working so hard, doing all these things, it's like God is just sort of standing off to the side, and He can't help you. You know, it's like, let me just bless your life. You know, let me just bring something into your life. Let me open up the storehouse for you and pour these things out upon you. You know? So, sorry, man. Well, I got to get this thing fixed. You know? Let me just do this for you. But you're so tunnel vision. No, I got to do this. I got to work this. And I got to do this. And I got to make this meeting over here. And I got to fly over here. And I take all this business. You know, we overwork ourselves. You know, and God says, man, I just open a door for me. And let me in. And let me help you a little bit. You know, let me show you that money is really not that important. You know the scripture, right? You know, in Timothy, right? It says that the love of money is the root of all evil. You know why he says stuff like that? It's not, money is not evil. You know, don't get that wrong, right? You know, money is not evil. It's the love of money that's evil, because that goes straight in line with dealing with areas of security. You know, money is money, but you know, money is a little more than that. Because the money that you earn, your salary, that's your time, that's your effort, that's your resources, you know, mental resource and all, that's your education that you put into it, right? And so this is important stuff. You know, all these things are. But it's not everything, you know? And you place your trust in God and God alone. You know, one of the questions I asked, I think, during experiencing God, I asked these guys, have you ever given to God when it hurt? I mean, until it really hurt, you know? I'm talking, you were giving and it hurt to give. You know, and sadly, most of the response I got from people was, no, I've never really given to God where it really hurt me and stuff. And like I'll tell them, right, I'll tell you like I told them, says, you will, right? Don't worry, you will. You know, you'll give till it hurts. You know, and then you're going to find the joy, the incredible joy of giving. And the joy on top of that of receiving from the Lord. That is the spirit of generosity. You know, and in the same way, when we ask for daily bread, this is what we're saying, God, you are the source of these things. Right? This simple bread, the sustenance I have, God, you are the one that has given me these things. You know, God, you know, I know you've given me a mind, but God, that you've blessed me with the ability to study, with the drive to finish assignments, you know, and all these things, man, it comes from the Lord. Don't kid yourself. I mean, really, don't kid yourself that you earn this, you know, yourself. And of course, you worked hard. I'm not, you know, bypassing that at all. You worked hard. You spent the hours. You labored. You sacrificed. And that's great, right? But the source was God, you know. And when we begin to understand that, right, we begin to walk in that spirit of generosity. I tell you, right, the ugliest thing that you could ever see is this poverty being worked out. You know, I see it all the time around me. You know, I see it walking on the streets here in Hong Kong. You know, and people will, you know, I mean, you know, they'll gut you, you know, for 20 honkies, man. You know what I mean? I mean, how many of us have been ripped off? You know, that's one thing, you know, like, you know, when you get ripped off and stuff, like money, don't you get this really sick feeling? You know, like you just got gypped, you know, and it could be like just 10, 20 Hong Kong dollars. It's not the amount of money that's really... But it does something to us, right? You just got ripped off. It's a spirit of poverty that you just got slimed with. You know what I mean? It's someone else's sin that you just got poured all over you in a certain way. And that's, it's so disgusting. And yet, I mean, I display this all the time in my life. You know, I just hold on to things so much. You know, just the little bit of money that I have, just hold on to God. I don't want to give here. I don't want to do this. And even though I hear God, you know, just saying it's my stuff, man. Just let go. You know, and it's so hard to let go sometimes. I mean, I know what that feels like sometimes. You know, the best thing for you can do in that situation is just to let go, right? Right. It says God gives to hands that are open. Right. It's just simple fact, right? God gives to hands that are simply open. Let me close with this. I want to go really short today. Turn to Luke chapter 6. Verse 38. This is another one that you should underline and write down and Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Sometimes it's the most beautiful thing when you see giving. I heard this story a long time ago. This is a seminary professor in Dallas. Right? You guys ever heard of Howard Hendricks? He wrote a lot of books as Iron Sharpens Iron, and he's one of the leadership guys, and really, really great professor. When he was teaching at some point, he had this time where he had this African student, you know, and he had a wife and a couple of kids, and this guy was not making ends meet. You know, he was struggling even to feed his kids, and, you know, I mean, it was just a very difficult time. After class one day, you know, this student comes up to Howard Hendricks and says, "Professor, you know, I've been praying for you, you know, and I just feel like the Lord just wants me to give this to you." You know, and he hands him an envelope, you know, and professor's like, "Well, thanks, you know," and so he takes it home, you know, didn't think much of it. He opens it up, there's a $20 bill in there. I mean, not a lot of money, but $20. $20 to Howard Hendricks is chump change. $20 to this African seminary student is his livelihood. This is milk for his kids, you know what I mean? And so he found this out, he called the student right away, and he says, "Oh, no, you don't understand. I can't take this from you. You know, in fact, I should be giving to you. You know, please, you know, just, I don't want this money." And African student was indignant with his professor. And then he says, "Please do not take away the opportunity to give to my God." You know, and so Hendricks received with such a broken and contrite heart. He's writing this is actually a story in one of his books, and he's writing this, and him and basically he asked him to give, you know, this money. He says, "Why don't you, I mean, the reason why he gave this African student was, you know, I've been praying for you and your wife, and I want you and your wife to go out on a date on me." You know, and he was traveling so much, and, you know, he was not really connecting with his wife very well. You know, and so he says, "Please take your wife out. You know, I mean, where can you go? $20, right?" So he goes to McDonald's, you know, and he's sitting with his wife, and they're both eating Big Macs, and they're just sobbing and just weeping together, you know, just thinking about God's faithfulness to them. You know, I was reading that, I was crying, man. You know, just thinking, this is what generosity does. It spills over, you know. And so Hendricks is writing, you know, and he's literally eating this Big Mac with his wife, and he's just, they're just looking at each other, just bawling together. You know, because someone's generosity, McDonald's, you know? I mean, if someone brought you McDonald's, you'd be like, "Thanks, man," you know, like, you know, whoopee-doo-doo and stuff. But if you understand the generosity behind that, you know, and they're receiving this, and Hendricks writes, says he'll never forget that for the rest of his life. He'll never forget, you know, not just someone's kindness, but God's faithfulness. You know, that's someone else's story, but, you know, my mom, you know, you guys know, my parents are missionaries. You know, one time my mom and I, we drove all night. We had to go somewhere. We drove for like 4 hours somewhere. And so, you know, we were talking and things, and she was just sharing with me all these stories. You know, my parents are you know, missionaries, but they're not under any church, any denomination. You know, they were with the Southern Baptists, but they came out of that, and they were with a group called Partners and other things, but they decided to, that, you know, for the best interest of their ministry, to sort of go off on their own. And they have a large covering. There's about, you know, and now there's about 20 churches that support them. But before, there weren't any. You know, and so my parents literally just prayed. I mean, they prayed in the harvest. You know, and my mom was fortunate. She has a lot of favor over life, and so every time she'd go to Korea, you know, they would stick around in the radio. You know, they were actually taking leukemia patients in Uzbekistan and mixing with sort of wealthy donors and getting these kids. You know, I mean, these kids were dying of leukemia. This is hardly nothing in any other developed country in the world, but they were dying there. You know, it wasn't leukemia. It was something else. I'm sorry. It was something that's very, very, very common to, you know, it wasn't leukemia. It was something else. You know, and they were getting, you know, getting treatment, and they were getting well, and all these things were happening and stuff. And so there was a time when they were on the radio, and this one gentleman, and he runs a home for the mentally retarded, as well as for the old and the aged. You know, like in Korean society, you know, we're pretty good about taking care of our parents, right, when they get older. Well, these were the grandparents, and these were the people that the sons and daughters, a bunch of rat finks, you know, and they didn't take care of their elders, basically. And so they had nowhere to go. And so this pastor took these guys in. You know, and so my mom was in Korea during this time, and so they were, she was on the radio, and she was talking about these things, and this pastor felt it in his spirit. I need to give to this woman. So he found out where my mom was at and got a hold of her and talked to her, and he basically gave her their whole month's worth of food that he needs to buy. You know, and it's just in Howard Hendricks' story, my mom was like, just my mom just weeping, you know, like, I can't take your money. You know, because, you know, this guy's pretty well known, so people know what he does in this area. And she was also telling me that in this place that the government is thinking about taking away their house that they meet and live in, because they're building some freeway, or, you know, like some street or something, and, you know, it's like the urban plan, they're going to take it away. And so he may not have a place to, you know, to live in a couple months. You know, and then this is all the rice and, you know, and their sustenance for all these retarded kids as well as all these elderly people. And he gave the whole thing away. And it wasn't much, you know, but it was enough to support them for a whole month. And he gives this whole thing away. My mom's sitting there weeping. Oh, don't do it. You know, please don't. You know, I can't accept this from you. And this, I mean, this Korean guy, you think that African guy was indignant, man. This Korean Moksa, this pastor was just going off on my mom. You know, just like, how dare you, you know, prevent me from giving to my God. I'm not giving to you. I'm giving to God. You know, and he just, you know, kind of just really let my mom have it. You know, and just my mom was just weeping. You know, and she received this, and, you know, and they used it for their church and things like this, and the church started growing, and I mean, all these things to say, and what the conclusion is, I was sharing with my mom during this drive, and as she was telling me the story, she's crying, I'm driving, I'm crying, you know, and she says something, and she says, you know, that incident, I mean, it wasn't a lot of money, but that wasn't the point. The money, you know, the point of it all is that God would actually speak to some man that I don't even know, you know, and that God would tell this man to support our ministry that he doesn't even know. And then my mom put two and two together and said, you know, God knows, and God knows our needs. And so God would stir this man to give to this need, you know, and, you know, and his whole thing was like, don't worry about it. God will provide for all these things. You know what I mean? And it's a chain started happening. There's a spirit of generosity begin to move. That Korean pastor knew who his source was. He knew it wasn't the money that was in the bank account. That wasn't his joy. That was not his sustenance. His sustenance was God, right? And my God isn't short of cash, mister. You know, and he understood that fact. You know, and so when we go before the Lord and we ask for daily bread, right? Give us this day, Lord, our daily bread. You know, we're coming in the foundation saying, God, you're the one that gives to me. You know, I get a paycheck, it may be written out by UBS or JP Morgan or, you know, Sherman or some other company. But you're the one that provides for these funds, God. And so thank you. You know, and as it is given to us, right, we as faithful stewards, we give away as well. You know, when I was attending the Vineyard, when I first got saved, the first church I went to was the Vineyard in John Wimber. And they used to do the most beautiful things in that church. They would take the first offering every month, right, and they would just give it to the poor. It was the most amazing thing, you know. And the church, there were about, I'd say at that time, there were about 3,000 people in the church. And they would give like $200,000 offerings one Sunday. The craziest thing was people would give more that first Sunday than any other those other Sundays, you know. And they come up after the service, you know, and I don't know, these guys must have counted money really fast, man, right? Because they get the offering, and then they say, oh, yeah, praise God, man, we just gave $200,000 to the poor. And I would just sit there and say, oh, my goodness. And God provided everything for these guys. You know, Wimber would say to his congregation, he says, we give to get to give. I thought, whoa, that was deep, man, right? We give because we know we're going to get, so we can give. And I thought, wow, that sure sounds like the spirit of generosity. That sure sounds like God's economy. You know, if you're really, I'll be really honest, if you're really bound by your finances, I mean, really, just listen to my heart. If you're really bound by your careers, and if you're really bound by money and by materialism and all these things, you know, if wearing those Prada shoes or, you know, is more important than, you know, getting someone saved somewhere. And, you know, and we laugh at this, but that's true for many people in the world, right? Many people in the church, you know, it's more about the way they look, you know, than other things that are happening around the world or, you know, even down our block. And if you're bound by these things, you know the greatest thing you can do is give some of it away. Right? Not all of it away. I mean, you can't give all of what you want. You know, it's like, you know, you give it away, you just get more, right? Then you can give some more away anyway and stuff. And if you want to reverse the curse in your own life, this poverty, you know, the best thing you can do is start being a giver. You know, just continue as you walk through the day, just ask the Lord, Lord, what can we do? You know, how can we go about, you know, just fulfilling your kingdom on this earth? You know, notice he says that right after he says, your kingdom come, your will be done. Yeah, and then he says, give us their daily bread. You know, and the best thing you can do if you want to break that curse over your life is to start giving. You know, it's just start giving things away. You know, just go through your thing, just start giving. You know, some of you guys remember Charles? You know, we're going to go see Charles a little bit. And Charles began to really grab a hold of this in his life. He gave everything away, literally, just about, before he left. You know, I was talking to other people, you know, and don't get me wrong or anything, right? But some people were trying to sell stuff, you know, on the internet. You know, why don't you buy this? Why don't you buy that and stuff? And Charles says, just take it. Just take it. You know, you don't have to give me anything for it, you know. And you know, and just think about it. People are working overtime trying to get the best price for this. And, you know, oh, I paid $6,000 for this. You know, why don't you take it for $2,000? And, you know, measly chump change, man, you know. And stuff, and yet Charles is in this place because he was flowing with the spirit of generosity. And he just says, take it. You know, and he says, first the household of God. You know, any of you guys need anything at all? Just take it away. You know, actually, it was for me that sort of, that says, no, don't just take it. Give to the church, right? So, at least give 20% to the church, right? So I had to sort of step in a little bit. You know, give to our Sunday school. Give to the kids at least. You know, and just take it away. You know, and here's this guy. I mean, he's going back to school. It's not like he's got this huge job waiting for him. I mean, he's going to seminary now, you know, and he just take it, you know. And if you saw Charles during that time, you saw the joy that was emanating in his life because he was walking in the spirit of generosity. Let's close our eyes. Now, I say all this stuff because I don't want your money, all right? This church doesn't want your money. If that was the case, I'd take an offering right now. See, I'm not going to, because we don't want your money. That's not the point of all this, church. But what we are doing in this place is coming before the Lord. And if you have some of those issues that I was talking about today, I really struggle with this message because I don't want to talk too much upon this because we're going to spend a long time later on talking about it more. But if you are bound by your finances, a lot of it is in the upbringing that we've had. A lot of times our parents talked about money with us too much. And because our dad was walking in the spirit of poverty, or our mom was walking in the spirit of poverty, it sort of affected the way we look at money and finances and God and His kingdom. I really want you to reverse that curse. Just start giving away, that you may experience the joy of the Master. As you walk through to work, as you're going through, keep an ear to the Holy Spirit. Start giving away. If you don't know who to give to, just ask me. I'll tell you where to give to. There's plenty of needs all over the place. And the spirit of generosity blesses people. I'm so thankful that we do have a generous church. And the way that you treated our guests last 2 weeks was incredible. They were so blessed. That's what the spirit of generosity does. They were so blessed. And I'm sure you were blessed as well when you gave that way. just want you to spend just a few minutes before the Lord today. Just to begin to get your heart straight before God in terms of your finances. But not so much just your finances, but that you really come to this conclusion that God, you are the source. And Lord, I'm just a mere steward of that. Let's go before the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Teach us to be givers, God. Teach us to be stewards, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If this is a real problem area for you, you know, with everyone's eyes closed, we just want a prayer of blessing over you. If this is a real problem area for you, and you're starting to recognize that, just lift your hand up to the Lord real quick. Say, man, I'm living under a spirit of poverty. Okay, put those hands down. Anyone else, just lift your hand up real quick. I just want a prayer of blessing over you. Father, we ask you right now, God, that you'd come and you'd reverse the curse, God. Just release something, Lord, upon my brothers and sisters in this place, God. Or that you would show some of yourself, God, of your extravagance. Lord, deep inside, God, let them know that you desire to bless them. God, you desire to fill their life, God, with so much, spiritually and materially, God. And Lord, and out of that deep conviction, Lord, they're able to give. They're able, Lord God, to bless others, Lord, because they know that you will bless them and continue to bless them. Or change their idea they have about you, Lord. Change their thinking. Renew their mind. And Lord, as we ask you for daily bread, God, we thank you that you are the source. We bless you, Jesus. We thank you so much, God. Why don't we rise from our seats? June, why don't we sing a song to close? This was just a little taste of what's going to come, probably in a few months. It's just so simple. It's amazing how a simple phrase can unlock a boxing within us and give us this day our daily bread. Let's close in this song, and I'll close in prayer.